What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do? It's the question that Jesus asked a man named Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. As Bartimaeus was there on the side of the road, you see, Bartimaeus was blind. We don't know whether he was born blind, whether he became blind somewhere along the way. We simply know that he was blind. Without his sight, his whole life had been reduced to begging beside the road. Penny Bartimaeus needed to live in an age like we do, where you can do so many productive things with your life, whether you can see or not. But in his day, you had one option: sit beside the road and beg. And that's all he had known for years: sit beside the road and beg. Jesus came along and he began to cry out the Lord's name. You see, he understood if he were able to see again, he would be able to support himself, to provide for his family, to make a difference in the world around him. And so Bartimaeus answered Jesus and he said, "Teacher, if I could receive my sight." And immediately Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." The Bible says this, and the first thing Bartimaeus saw was Jesus. And the first thing Bartimaeus did was follow him. All because Jesus asked a plain and simple question: what do you want me to do for you? So I guess that's my question for you this morning. My question for you this morning is, if the Lord came to you and asked the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" Do you know how you would respond? Is there a hurt you would ask him to heal? Is there a need you'd ask him to meet? Is there something you really need the Lord to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Some of us might even hesitate to ask for anything at all because somehow it seems a little bit selfish to be praying for yourself when you ought to be praying for other people. You ought to be praying for the needs of those around you. Why should you take time to pray for yourself? And maybe that's why the people all around Bartimaeus, as he began to cry out to Jesus, told him, "Be quiet, be quiet. Don't disturb the teacher. Don't bring your needs in front of God." They didn't think Jesus would be interested in Bartimaeus asking for help. But here's the truth: the Lord wants you to pray for yourself. As we continue through this series of what it means to pray and how to pray, today I want to talk to you about the necessity, the value, the command you have to pray for what God can do in your own life. You see, Jesus challenges every believer to come to him in prayer. He's not inviting you to pray for him to fulfill selfish desires. He's not saying, as he stands before you, "What do you want me to do for you?" And you say, "Well, Lord, I'd like a big new house. I'd like a brand new car. I'd like to have all the money I need in the bank. I'd like you to do all the selfish things that I can think about that I want you to do." Instead, in Matthew 7, 7 and 8, Jesus gave his apostles a simple formula for praying, and a formula for praying for yourself. Jesus challenges every believer. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open." I want to share with you some principles for praying as you grow in your walk with God. What do you want me to do for you? The Lord's really saying, what do you need me to do for you? Not on the outside. What do you need me to do for you on the inside? How do you need me to change you, to transform you, to challenge you, to empower you, so that you can be everything that you can be, but only through Christ Jesus? And he says there's three things you need to do. And you've learned them over the years, and I could probably ask you to quote that verse, and while we might not be able to do 75 verses with Samuel, we could probably talk about asking and seeking and knocking. But let's look at what it means when you take that and apply it to your own spiritual life. The first thing he would say is this: ask for wisdom. The Lord tells us specifically to ask him to give us wisdom. James 1:5 declares, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. If you lack wisdom, ask God for wisdom. Ask the Lord to give you that wisdom that you can't acquire by yourself, that wisdom that only comes from the Spirit of God. Not only are we allowed to ask for wisdom, God expects us to pray for it. So what is wisdom where the Bible is concerned? Wisdom is not abstract knowledge. Wisdom is not knowing all kinds of minutiae and trivia and things that you can spout back to people at all kinds of times. It doesn't mean that you pray for wisdom so that you're saying to the Lord, Lord, just make me smarter than everybody else around me. Now, some of us feel like the Lord's already gotten us there, but for the rest of us, it's still a challenge. Praying for wisdom is praying for God to open your eyes to see the world the way He sees it. Lord, give me wisdom. Let me see the things going on in this world. Let me see the circumstances taking place. Let me see the people around me. Let me see the folks who live in my own home. Let me see people the way you see people. Praying for wisdom is asking for the eyes of Christ. Wisdom guides the way we respond to the opportunities, the circumstances, and the obstacles that we face every day. And He wants you to pray about how you can make a difference in the lives of the people around you. I love the way Mark Batterson talks about it. Mark Batterson says the Lord wants us to pray to be able to love people when they least expect it and least deserve it. Isn't that good? Love people when they least expect it and least deserve it. Gosh, I wish I'd put that up on the screen. You know what it takes to be able to do that? You know what it takes to love people when they least expect it? When they least deserve it? It takes the wisdom that only comes from God. A wisdom that allows you to have compassion. A wisdom that allows you to have patience. A wisdom that allows you to have a desire to see people know how much God cares for them. Amen. To pray for wisdom is to pray, Father, help me to be wise. Lord, I ask you to give me the insight to see people through the eyes of Jesus and to respond to circumstances with the compassion and boldness that comes from depending on you. Guide my words, my actions, my motives, so that I can reveal the presence of Christ through every dimension of my life. Isn't that good? Through every dimension of my life. And that's what we mean when we pray for wisdom. Lord, help me to know how to respond to this world around me. Because, Father, I see all kinds of people. I see sinful people who need to be forgiven. I see broken people who need to be made whole. I see hurting people who need to know that God truly cares. I see people all around me. Give me the eyes to see what's going on, so that I can respond to them and show them the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. Lord, I am asking you, to give me wisdom. And when you do, the Bible's already promised He will deliver. Never forget, wisdom comes from a dynamic dependence upon God's presence to lead your life. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Lord, open my eyes that I might have wisdom. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself and say, Lord, I'm asking you to give me the wisdom to be a faithful witness to Jesus Christ. Give me the wisdom to show people the love of Christ in who I am and in what I say and in what I do. Lord, change me and make me wise. But Jesus is just getting started. He says this, and seek guidance. The Lord wants you to ask Him to actively lead your life. Lord, guide me. I pray, guide me as I follow you. When you seek His guidance and follow His will, you're able to live a truly spiritual life. Can I tell you something? If you talk to somebody and they say, I have to admit it, I'm just kind of bored with my Christian life. I'm just kind of tired of the whole thing. I feel like I get up, I do the same thing every day. Sunday comes, I go, I sit in the same pew, I hear the same lesson, it's out of the same Bible. I just got to admit to you, I am bored with my Christian life. This is what I would tell you. That is a person who is no longer seeking God's guidance in their life. They are no longer saying to the Lord, dynamically, actively, lead me. I want to walk the way you want me to walk. I want to please you with my life. Because if you're not seeking His guidance, then your faith is just not going to be very exciting at all. The Lord wants to be involved in everything that's happening in your life. He wants you to ask Him to step in and guide you through events and choices and challenges and even the discouraging things and the painful things that come your way. What He really wants you to do is to pray. Pray for yourself and say, Lord, guide me. Lord, I want you to step in, and every step I take, you take it with me. And everywhere I go, you go there with me. And Lord, you lead the way, and I'll follow you. He wants to be you to ask Him to bring you through everything that's going on. One of my favorite passages of Scripture. It's also a Bible drill passage, by the way. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. I especially love that last phrase when praying for yourself is concerned. He shall direct your path. He will show you what to do. He will show you where to go. He will show you who to touch. He will guide you in an active, intimate kind of way. And every day as we pray for ourselves, we pray and just say, Lord, help me to see where you're going and follow along. Let me be involved in what you're doing. Some time back, Henry Blackaby gave the challenge to the church, and he said this, the thing you need to do is find what God is doing in this world and join Him there. Isn't that good? And join Him there. Why? Because you've prayed, Lord, guide me. And here's the other thing that's so important about that. And when He guides you specifically. He has plans for your life, not everybody's life, but your life. And those are the things He reveals to you as you pray for yourself. Lord, show me what you want to do through me. Through me. When you seek God's guidance, He steps in actively and specifically. And living that way is so much more rewarding than just saying, what do I think is right? What do I think is true? What do I think makes sense? When God promises to direct your path, that means step by step. That means He is always there. But I have to warn you, if you trust in the Lord and don't lean on your own understanding, that means you're also praying, nothing is off limits to you. If I'm going to trust you, I'm going to trust you in everything. I'm not going to decide to pick and choose. This part of my life is about my faith in Christ Jesus, but this part of my life, I reserve that for myself. I hold that back from Him because I want to do that my way. You can't live a Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 life and tell the Lord He can only lead so far and no further. Sometimes we think that we know what the major decisions of our life are going to be. And when we reach those critical decisions, then I'm going to ask the Lord for help. But I'm going to wait until I hit those critical points where I have to make a decision, or I'm facing a heartache, or I'm dealing with a challenge that seems overwhelming. And when things get too big for me, then I'll trust the Lord. But only the Lord knows when the little decisions turn out to be the most important ones. Only the Lord knows when that mustard seed becomes a giant tree. And so we are prone to say to ourselves, I'm not going to talk to the Lord about that. It's just not that important. I'm not going to bother him with these little needs. I'll handle this myself, and I won't trust in him this time, because we don't know when those things that seem so little right now become so much bigger than those huge things that we think are the only reason we need to turn to him. We've got to trust in the Lord. Listen to what Psalm 37:23 promises. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And if you ever reach a point in your life when you think, well, I'd like to pray, I'm just not sure what to say or what to do, the best thing I can think you can do to pray for yourself is simply to say, Lord, uphold me with your hand. Uphold me with your hand. Lord, I am putting my life in your care. Hold me up. Guide me. Show me the way. So we ask for wisdom and we seek guidance. But then he says this, and knock in faith. When you knock on the door of someone you love, what do you expect to happen next? When it's somebody who really cares about you, and you show up and you start knocking, do you expect them to say, not interested, go away, leave me alone? No. What do we expect to happen? We expect the door to open. We anticipate good things are about to take place. Everything's about to change. Now, we already know that the Lord knocks on the door of our hearts. Revelation 3:20 declares, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. And just recently, we have seen the evidence of those who have heard Jesus knocking on their heart's door and said yes to him and followed him in faith and baptism. And that could be happening even today in somebody's life. It might be one of our children. It might be one of our youth. It might be one of our adults. But I don't know who's here today, and this may be the day when you hear him knocking, and the knocking of him on your heart's door is so loud that you can't hear anything else, because you know Jesus Christ is calling you to himself. And you know that today is the day when you need to make the decision to trust him. And maybe in a little while when we do our invitation hymn, this will be the time for you to come forward, and I'll be here and I'll help you introduce Christ into your life. Or you can talk to someone you love and trust who knows the Lord, and they'll help you invite Jesus into your life. There is no more important decision any of us make than to hear him knock and to say yes. And it may be that today you're here and the truth is you have said to him, no. You've said to him, wait a while. You have said to him, when it's a more convenient time, you have said to him, I'll get around to it, but you've never said yes. And maybe today is the day you need to respond to the knocking power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who wants to save you. Now, that's the invitation we have to trust Christ. But the Lord also challenges us to knock in faith and believe that he will respond to our prayers. Here's the thing. To knock is to pray with expectancy. It is to believe, if I bring my life before the Lord and I ask for his help and his guidance and his wisdom, then he's going to respond, and he's going to respond powerfully. It is thinking, I'm not just praying just to say I prayed today or I had a list I followed or whatever. It is an expectant spirit that says, Lord, I'm coming to you because I want you to act today, because I need you to do something, and I am knocking and asking you to do what only you can do in my life. It's what Solomon did so long ago. You remember? He was overwhelmed. His father had died. He was on the throne. He had not the first clue how to lead a nation. And here he was, leading Israel at the very height of its power. And he prayed to the Lord. He knocked urgently and expectantly. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. God, I'm knocking because I need your help. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I don't know how to handle this. Lord, I am overwhelmed. You ever been there? Sometimes we're overwhelmed by great opportunities like Solomon experienced. Sometimes we're overwhelmed by great tragedy and we don't know where to turn. Sometimes we're overwhelmed by great opportunities and we're not sure what to do. But there are those times in our lives when we just think, Lord, I need your help. How did the Lord respond when Solomon knocked on the door of heaven with his faith? Well, this is what the Lord did. He blessed his faith. And this is what the Lord said to Solomon. He said, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. Isn't it interesting? If you ask a man on the street, what did Solomon pray for? What is he going to say? Probably going to say he prayed for wisdom. He did not. He prayed for help. And God came through. And you can pray and say, Lord, I need your help. And understand this, when you knock, God answers. You ask for wisdom, you seek guidance, you knock in faith. You pray for yourself. But there's one other thing you have to remember when you pray for your own life, and it is this. Pray and keep on praying. Don't just pray once or twice. Pray and keep praying. There's something you need to know about the verb tenses found in Matthew 7. They indicate continual action. Basically, what the Bible is saying is ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. Let it be a habitual part of who you are. Let it be something you do day in and day out. Do it when you can see the evidence that his answer has come. Do it when you're just not sure quite when he's going to step in. But you always trust him. And that's the secret to effective praying. You pray continually. Lord, open my heart. Open my mind, open my ways, open my life. And I'm going to continue to come to you and seek you and believe that you're going to answer every prayer. God challenges you. Pray for yourself. Not for selfish things. Not for material acquisition, but for answers to your deepest needs. Lord, I'm asking you for the wisdom to live for you. I'm seeking you that you might guide me on a daily basis. I am knocking on the doors of heaven, and I do it in faith. Show me what to do. You see, here's the secret to praying for yourself. The secret to praying for yourself is the same one that Jesus showed us so long ago in the garden. It is that you get to that point where you bring your life before the Lord and you say, not my will, but your will be done. And you pray for yourself so that God can bring you to that point of surrender to his will. And then he goes to work. So I wondered this morning, is that what you need to do in your own life, in your own walk with Jesus Christ? do you need to be bringing your life before Him and saying, Lord, move me, change me, fix me, so that I can seek your will and follow your ways? And maybe today you are one of those who's heard Christ knocking on your heart's door and you recognize you need a living relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe today is the day when you're going to need to come. In a minute, we're going to stand, we're going to sing an invitation hymn, and that's a chance for you to come forward and say, look, I need to trust Jesus. Will you help me? And if so, you come. I would love to introduce you to the Savior. Or maybe you know that part of God leading you and following where He's guiding is to this place. I want to plant my membership, my life, my service here. And I'm doing it because God is telling me to do it. Maybe there's another decision where God is dealing with your life. And you need to come forward and just say, pray with me, because this is what's going on in my life and I want to please Him. Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand, we're going to sing, and as we do, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to Him? Time after time, He has waited before, and now He is waiting again.
Been good to be in God's house together this morning. I'm glad that we had this opportunity to remember those ways that God's calling us to pray for ourselves. While we're talking about that subject of prayer, and we're going to be continuing on, let me encourage you as well. We're doing 6 weeks on Wednesdays on praying with power. We're really looking at some of the mechanics that God gives us for praying powerfully. We've just started that on Wednesday night. I've also picked up Wednesday morning to help lead that group. And so for the next 6 weeks, let me encourage you to come and make that a part of your daily walk with Christ. Let's bow together now for a closing prayer and then one last song as we conclude our service. Father, we do thank You that You give us the privilege of praying for ourselves. Lord, we want to pray for others, and we want to pray for Your will, but mostly, Father, we want to pray that You will help us to open our lives up, to let You have Your way in everything. Lord, help us to be people of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.